everyone this morning?
Somebody need that, huh? There was this little picture that kind of surfaced around the internet, and I have it there if you could throw that up, JT. And it says, "Hang in there, baby." My son, for Christmas, said to his mom, he says, "The one thing I want is," he has established a little office downstairs. He says, "I want a picture of the cat hanging on to the rope because I want to remind myself to hang in there when I'm doing my math homework." And you know what? As we're all engaged in prayer and fasting, my word to you this morning is hang in there. Finish the race. Finish what God has put before you. At the beginning of the fast, we all prayed and said, "Lord, we are doing a corporate fast for 21 days. What does that look like for me as an individual? What are you calling me to?" And as the Lord has spoken into your spirits, then we say, "Yes, Lord," and we step into what God has for us. Last week, I spoke about being filled with the Spirit, to stepping in the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, I want to look at the same scripture that we looked at last week, but I'm going to take it from a different angle this week. If you have your Bibles, you can open it up to the book of Mark, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time the devil came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread.' But Jesus said to him, 'No, the scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" You skip down a little bit to verse 10. It says, "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him. "For the scripture says you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. In verse 1, we see that Jesus again was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. That scripture always blows me away. For we see in James that the Lord will never tempt us. Yet we see here that the Holy Spirit not only leads us to blessings in the mountaintop experiences, but his role also leads us into seasons of wilderness, into times of testings, into fastings, into spending time alone with God. Jesus, our Lord, stepped into a 40-day fast. You know what? Really, I don't know how he did it. I've done a 40-day fast before, and they're difficult. But I have the comfort of being able to crawl into a beauty rest mattress at night, to be able to take blankets and heated blankets and warm myself up, because you know, and we're going to get into that in a minute, you freeze when you fast. And I've been able to go in there and still enjoy the luxuries that we experience. But Jesus went into the wilderness where his pillow was a rock. You know, where he was alone in the wilderness and he got alone with God and he didn't have the comforts that we got to experience today. Have you ever wondered why the Redeemer of the world, Jesus, would fast? Remember, he was 100% God, but yet he was also 100% man. Now, my guess is that for Jesus to fast, it prepared him for the cross. But truthfully, nobody knows. But we know that it's important for us to do what the Lord has done. In a fast, you are led into the wilderness for a time of prayer, meditating, studying the Word of God, a time where Jesus can have our undivided attention. A wilderness is a place of uncertainty, a place of extremes. Again, I was just talking a moment ago. How many people in this fast have been absolutely freezing? Oh, Missy is always freezing. But you know, it's so funny because usually we go into our staff meetings and Missy brings in a second heater and she warms it up so much in the office. Like, "Missy, you're the only one. We need to take our clothes off now because it's so hot in here." And it's like, "Stop it." And she's like, "It's so cold." It's like, "No, it's not. It's 90 degrees in here right now. Like, come on." But now, I understand. Now I'm like, "Man, you just can't get warm." And I don't know about you, but quite often in a time of fast, I get the worst muscle cramps. This fast now, I was lying down, I was sleeping one night, and probably about 3 o'clock in the morning, I've never had this happen to me in my life. My foot cramped. It was like my foot just kind of went, "Oh." And as I was sleeping, I was like, "Ah!" And I thought, like, "Oh my Lord, Jesus, help me. Help me, God." And it just, I felt it was like this, and I just felt it kind of go, "Oh." And I'm like, "Oh, that hurts so much." Most Christians want to be nice, mild, and walk in a cute relationship with the Lord. Where we don't get too hot. We don't become fanatical like some of those weird people. We don't want to become cold and callous. We like to go to church so we can say that we as a family go to church. But I believe that when we start and we break into the gift of fasting,
God is going to throw that all out the window.
Because he's called us to radical living. We need to know that if we're going to walk with God, it's not going to be always nice and mild and cute. But there's coming a time where we're going to have such a deep hunger for God that we can't help but be extreme. For the word says signs and wonders will follow those who believe. Do you believe that that is radical? But yet, if we believe, if we step into that place, God is calling us to a supernatural lifestyle. Now, there's going to be up days with God, and there'll be down days with God. But this is where he is going to teach us so much. It's in the heights and the peaks, the lushness of the valley. I remember someone once taught me that there's a place in our lives for mountaintop experiences. We need them. And you guys, most of you are so blessed. The very first time I ever saw mountains in my life, I was 26 years old. And I remember going to Banff, Alberta, and seeing those mountains just being like, wow. I've seen them in movies. I've read about them in books. But when you get to see the mountains for your first time, it is absolutely amazing. And I remember going up a gondola and going to the top of one of these mountains and just looking down. But have you ever noticed that at the top of these high, high mountains, nothing grows up there? They're fun. It's great. You can see some really cool things. But as you look down the valleys, that's where life is green. When God calls you to fasting, there's those mountaintop experiences that we live for. We love the mountaintop experiences. But it's in the valleys where we grow, where we mature, where we learn through those wilderness seasons. When you're fasting, we have to be careful that we don't get sloppy. Perhaps become prideful. I'm in that zone now. Man, I'm fasting. Everything is going really well. The devil's got no chance. He's gonna get it. For as Jesus was fasting, that is when the devil came. What? As Jesus was praying, the devil came. Do you know that when you're fasting, you can and you still will be tempted? Even when you're pressing in hard, he will come and try to mess with you. I think sometimes we think that if we're doing spiritual things, that the enemy's just going to sit back and say, wow, you're amazing. Man, woo, you are so good. Like, you and Jesus are like this. I haven't got a chance. But we see that that's when the enemy came and attacked Jesus, at the end of his fast. Now, don't be shocked if during your fast, the enemy comes after you. It means you're doing something right. He doesn't want you pressing in. Now, I'm not speaking something into your life. In fact, if he does come and you speak the name of Jesus, remember, greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. It's not fear, but I want us to be aware that when that happens, so many times I've had people come to me and say, I fasted for the first time in my life, and it was the worst week of my life. Excellent! Praise God! Did you not hear me fast? It was the worst week of my life. Yes! That is so exciting! No, it's not. Yes, it is. Because you're growing. You're maturing. In verse 2, Jesus was hungry. He hadn't eaten anything for 40 days and 40 nights. For if there's there every time when the devil will try and mess with you, if ever there's a time when the devil will try to mess you, it's while you're hungry. You know, you call yourself to a fast. It's so funny. When I wrote this last week, I said this. You call yourself to a fast, and someone leaves Twinkies on your desk. You step into a fast and the boss decides to honor everybody by throwing a pizza party, that kind of thing. And when I wrote that, I had two people, and it's so funny, you know what the devil's using this time? Donuts. I had two people come up to me and say, Pastor, my boss never ever brings in donuts. And now, during the fast, my boss brought in donuts. And not just those cheap donuts. We're talking granny donuts. We're talking the M donuts. We're talking quality stuff. And I love donuts. And I'm just laughing. I'm like, yeah, that's the way it happens. But now, since it's Sunday, like this was back on Tuesday, I've had six people come to me and say, Pastor, it is fast. This has happened and that has happened. And it's just been so amazing to see what is happening. You know, I remember a time when I was fasting, when my very own dear, precious wife, you know, she, many, many years ago, she, for Valentine's Day, she decided that I'm going to show my husband love by cooking something that he loves. I'm going to make Chinese food. As she made this spread, I came home and there was everything that you can think of. I'm just like, whoa! This is amazing! And we're eating this food. I'm just like, Cindy, this is so good. This is the freshest Chinese food I've ever had. This is so good. This is fantastic. When are we going to do this again? You know what she said to me? Never. I will never do this again. She says, this was the worst. I was up all day chopping and cutting and preparing and making sauces. It took me 12 hours to make this meal. Well, you will never have it again. I'm like, oh, come on, baby. It's Valentine's Day. You fell for love. Let's do it again next Valentine's Day. No, it's not happening. Well, 9 years later, I called a fast. I told my wife, I'm going into a fast. Sounds good. We had some people come over. She goes, you know what? I think I'm going to make Chinese food. I'm like, you're going to do what? She goes, well, they really like Chinese food. I really like them. I'm going to make. I said, honey, it's been 9 years. You promised me you would never make it again while I'm fasting. That's not the time to start. She says, well, I'm keeping my promise. There's still going to be no Chinese food for you. There will always be something that tries to appeal the king's stomach. There will always be something that just says, you know what, let's just break the fast. You know, I'll get back to it tomorrow. You know, it's not the proverbial diet where it's just like, you know what, we'll start on Monday again. It is something that God has planned for us to set aside and say, God, this is what you've given me to. Press through. God planned Jesus' birth. He planned Jesus' death. He planned the resurrection. He planned for Jesus to enter into a wilderness for a time of fasting. Whatever test you go through, God is not surprised. He who sets up the test is faithful to sustain us in the test. Jesus was tempted. He knows what we're going through. And during Jesus' fast, the very first temptation is found in verse 3. It says, during that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Here we see that Jesus was tempted in the area of the appetite. Do you remember that the Holy Spirit brought him into this test? Where his flesh was tempted. In Romans chapter 7, Paul says, there is nothing good in the flesh. Our flesh, we put cologne on it, we paint it, we buff it, we feed it, yet we're not led by it. Jesus says in John 6:63, it's the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. If we allow our flesh to lead our temple, we will be deceived and astray. But if we allow our temple to be led by the flesh, then it will lead us to an eternity separated from God. Romans 7:5 says, for when we were in the realms of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work within us, so that we bore fruit for death. The flesh is a house where our bodies live. Just imagine if you just say, you know what, I just decided that I'm not going to bathe anymore. People would start to notice because the flesh would reveal its true character, its true nature. It's stinky. It starts to show what it's really like. We need to say, flesh, you may leave this body, but I will walk in the Spirit of the Lord. Notice that Jesus' flesh was linked to his security. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Let me explain that. Satan's very first temptation, he said to him, if you are the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. Jesus was hungry. Can you hear it? Can you hear the taunt from the enemy? Did Satan know who Jesus was? Of course he did. Satan doesn't have to acknowledge who you are if you don't know who you are. Satan knows the covenant that you have through Christ Jesus. He knows the authority that you possess to cast out demons, to stand as sons and daughters of the Most High. But do we know that? Because if we don't, Satan surely is going to remind us in times of trouble. Satan tries to get Jesus to prove himself. If you are the Son of God, my friends, you don't need to prove yourself to anybody, especially the devil. We don't need to jump through hoops. I don't need to prove to you anything. For the word says the devil came to Jesus, and at the end of the fast, Jesus was hungry. The devil comes when the fast is almost over, and Jesus hadn't eaten. The greatest attack will come when you're one step away from your breakthrough. He wants us to give up. He wants us to quit when we're so close. Don't quit. Remember, he's the father of lies. He will whisper, you know, when you're on this fast, it's almost over. You haven't seen any fruit, right? So why bother? You know, fasting is so unhealthy. You're going to die. If you keep this up, you feel that pain. See this pain in your body? You're not going to make it. Do you mind if I take a moment and share an absolute proud papa moment? My son Lucas, for the first time, decided that he wanted to join our 21-day fast. And normally the kids will fast sugar or television or screens or something like that, which is great. It gives them an opportunity to be able to do that. But he says, Dad, this year I really feel that the Lord's calling me to do the Daniel fast. It's like, okay. So the Daniel fast is you eat fruit and vegetables. Now Lucas lives on pizza. He loves it. That's his thing. His pizza is his red light food. It's just like, yes! And so he's been doing the fast, and mom's been checking in on her as a mom, like, oh, are you okay? How's things going? He's like, oh, I'm doing really good. You know, he's kind of talks about some of the challenges. You know, he goes to school, and teachers bring in treats for people, and he goes to different places, and people, same type of temptation that we did, that we go through. But then Lucas got a phone call. And he got a phone call from a dear friend at school. He says, Lucas, I want you to come to my birthday party. My birthday party is the 26th of September, and Lucas's fast is over on the January. Thank you. January 26th, and Lucas's fast is over in the morning of January 27th. And he's like, what's the birthday party? He goes, we're going to go to DART, I think it's called. It's in Belgrade, some kind of a Nerf thing where you bring your guns and you shoot each other. He's like, that sounds awesome. Who wouldn't want to die by Nerf? You know, like, that sounds great. So he's like, sounds good. And he goes, and then we're going to have your favorite. We're going to have a pizza party. And Lucas is like, oh, pizza party. I'll get back to you. And then he goes, what? We're going to have a pizza party. She goes, well, you know what, Lucas, you're really close. Like, you've done so good. That'll be 20 days for you. If you want to go, we totally understand. You be blessed to do what you want to do. Because I got to go pray. Okay. So he came back out with mama. Would you call the mom and tell them I can't go? Because Jesus has called me to this, and I want to fulfill my commitment. Proud papa. My friends, this morning I'm putting my foot on a quitting spirit. Some people who have a tendency not to finish things and give up at the end. God is going to break through in your life. Don't quit. See it through the end. Praise God. Now maybe you're here and you're like, Pastor, it's too late. I've already quit. You know what? It's all right. Get back. Walk in that place and say, Lord, I made you a commitment. And Lord, I didn't do it the first time, but God, would you give me strength to endure? I want to fulfill what you've spoken deep in my spirit. Remember, Psalms 30 says, weeping may last for a night, but his joy comes in the morning. You know what? For if you quit, you may not receive the promise that he has in store for you. Don't give up at the 11th hour, but follow through with what the Lord has taught you to do. This next prayer summit, normally, our last prayer summit, we didn't have Timbits, and we stepped away from that because, you know what? We had them every single prayer summit, little mini donuts. But at this one, we're just like, no, our church is fasting. But this next prayer summit, we're going to celebrate. We're going to have some food there, more than just Timbits. We're going to have some food, and we're going to be able to eat together and celebrate together and enjoy a feast together. Number two is that the devil said, if you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scripture says he orders angels to protect you. Satan knew that Jesus' purpose was to die. This temptation could have caused Jesus to die before his time. For there were many things Jesus had to do first. He had to disciple his 12. He had sick to heal. He had to set captives free. My friends, God's timing is perfect. Often God shows people what he wants to accomplish in their lives. And boom, we run ahead of it, don't we? Also, the Lord gives us a dream or vision. This is what I'm calling you to. This is the plan for your life. I'm like, yes, let's do it tomorrow. And the Lord's like, it's in the journey that you learn. It's in the valleys where you grow. We don't like that. God wants us to go through the process where he teaches us along the way. In the wilderness, in the wine press, we learn who God is and who we are in him. Satan will say, you know what, guys, just take it now. And often, we can fall into that trap. Satan doesn't want you to go through the journey. He doesn't want us to walk through the process. In fact, remember what the Holy Spirit that led Jesus in the wilderness, seek his face, seek his timing, and consider it pure joy when trials come. The enemy didn't stop there. He said to Jesus, now I want you to bow down and worship me, and I'll give you everything. There's a worship test. We must walk in brokenness. It's so easy to become indifferent in worship. It's so easy to get in our mindsets that worship is just part of the service. You know what? If I come, you know, whatever, as long as I'm there for the preach, that's good. I don't really like the whole singing thing. I'm a terrible singer anyways. I'm sure I just put people off. The Bible tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We worship God with everything that is inside of us. And it's more than a Sunday morning. You worship Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. When you come Sunday morning, you are ready to go. Your engine is primed. It is awesome. You know, I remember a time in my life where I start off a sermon, and in the sermon I used an illustration of some kind. I don't remember what it was. But I said in that illustration, like, I'm not really an emotional guy. Like, that's just not really who I am. You know, like, when I get a really cool gift for Christmas, it's like, wow, thank you. It's like, that's it? It's like, yes, I'm really happy, thank you. And then when something bad happens, it's just like, oh, man, that's awful. You know, I'm not this type of a person. It's just the way I am. So I just tell this illustration, and I kind of do that thing. Within 10 minutes of the sermon, I start bawling. I've never had that happen in my life since that day. And I'm sitting there preaching the sermon, I'm just like, Jesus. And I'm just crying and crying. I cannot compose myself. And I'm feeling really foolish. Because I'm in front of people, I'm blubbering like an idiot. I'm not making any sense. And I'm just crying and crying and crying hard. When that was over, I went into my prayer closet. I'm like, Lord, what was that all about? He says, well, you just said that you're not a very emotional person. He says, son, I wanted to teach you I wanted to teach you brokenness. I'm like, did you have to do it in the middle of a message? Yes, I did. I'm like, that's great. Thank you, Jesus. Do you remember the woman with the alabaster jar? She poured out as an act of worship all over Jesus' feet. As she did that, tears streamed down her face. She began to wipe his feet with her hair. The people in the room were horrified, for they knew who she was. She was a sinner. Yet Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Now go in peace. You ever think that, you know what? Jesus is just too much for me because I know my life and I know what I've done. I want you to know this morning, that's a lie from the pit of hell. This was a woman who was full of sin, but she fell down on the face of Jesus and said, I need you. There's something in that power of worship. There's something in that worship test where we just get to the end of ourselves and we say, Jesus, I give you everything. On Sundays, my friends come so filled with anticipation. I just sense every single Sunday, worship is just, it's just ramping up. It's just getting deeper and deeper. The hunger is getting stronger. And I'm so thankful to the Lord. In conclusion this morning, have you found that during this fast,
You know what your what the first thing in your food is that you're going to break your fast with? My friends, don't give in to your cravings. Don't give in to the flesh. Man, have you been having some strange cravings, dreaming about Chinese food, pizza, chocolate, or, oh Jesus, Olive Garden breadsticks? You see? They come out to the table and they're hot and they're just like got that garlic on top and the salt, and you just eat them, they're just like every time I eat an Olive Garden breadsticks, it's like a baby angel. It's just like, Jesus, this is like manna from heaven is what this is. You know? Sorry, I digress. I want to read from you from my journal this last week. As our church is going through the book of Romans and fasting together, the scripture that I stood out for me in Romans chapter 7 is verse 13 and 14, I believe. It says, "But how can this be? Did the law, which is good, cause my death? Of course not. Sin used what was good to bring about my condemnation to death." So we can see how terrible sin really is. It uses God's good commandments for its own evil purposes. So I entered into a listening prayer exercise with this verse. And I put in my margin an L for Lance. And I wrote this: "Lord, this verse jumped out at me. What do you want me to know about the scripture?" And here's what God said: "Lance, here Paul is showing my people the power of sin and the ugliness of it. When you are fasting, your mind goes to all kinds of food. You wish you were eating, which makes the fast longer and harder, because your mind is set upon what you cannot have." You're just, during this fast, just gone on Facebook and all your friends are just become foodies in the last week. It's like, look what I cooked for supper this week. Oh man, this was delicious. I went here and this happened and I had this feast. It's just like, seriously? However, when you are not fasting and your belly is full, that same temptation just doesn't exist. Sin has a way of taking over our thoughts and setting them upon what could be, which takes our thoughts off of what totally and truly is important, my love. My friends, it's taking this time and saying, God, would you help my mind to be totally focused upon you? 1 Peter 5:7 tells us to cast our cares, cast our thoughts upon him, for he cares for you. In this fast, we often want to focus on what we don't have. But the Lord is like, come to me, all who are weary, and I will sustain you. I will fill you. I will lavish on you. I will give you peace. I will give you rest. During this extended fast, if you're like me, you've thought of lots of things of what you're going to eat when you break this fast. Some of us have menus written and cravings or events. And I may even remember a time, true story, in the middle of an extended fast where I had a dream. And I dreamt that Cindy called me on the phone to meet her at Tim Hortons, which was a donut shop. There's the donuts again, Charisse. And I go over to this donut shop, and I meet Cindy over there, and she has donuts over on the table, and we're just going into conversation, and you get lost in conversation, and you just grab a couple of donuts, and you start eating them. But after I ate about three of them, I realized that, oh, I'm fasting. I forgot all about it, and I got donuts, and then I woke up feeling bad, and my pillow was soaked because I was chewing on my pillow. What are you craving? What are you desiring? The prodigal son, remember, he was on a forced fast. There was no food. He was eating the husks of corn. And then what happens? He starts to think about home and how well fed his servants were, his father's servants were. So he heads back to the farm where he's going to ask his dad, "Dad, would you take me in as a servant where I can at least eat right?"
Now, many of us think the story of the prodigal son has to do with the repentance. Or that's why the prodigal son returned. You know what? That's not why at all. The prodigal son returned home because he was hungry. His thoughts were on food. But the father's thoughts, they weren't on food. They were on something much larger. What did he say? He said, put a robe on my son. Place a ring upon his finger. Kill the fattened calf. Place sandals upon his feet. God the Father is preparing not just food, but other things that are going to blow your mind away as he prepares for you. Rewards that we're not even expecting. Why? Because that's our dad. And he's a good father. And he wants us to know, son, God, I'm so pleased with you. What are you targeting? What are you focusing on? What are the three things that you wrote down in your journal in the beginning? Lord, in this fast, this is the vision that I cast before you. Every day, Lord, I'm praying for this. You bring that to the Lord, and you say, God, I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to fulfill what I told you, Lord. And Lord, I won't quit. And again, maybe you're here this morning and you've already quit. May the Lord bless you. Walk in that place and just say, Dad, I messed up. But God, you're the God of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances. And Lord, I just want to renew that commitment deep in my spirit. Because God, you spoke clearly to my heart what I need to do. And God, I want to be a man and a woman of integrity. I want to walk in what you have for me. My friends, let's stand to our feet this morning. And let's just take a few moments and enter into that presence of worship. We're going to have the prayer team up here if you'd like prayer for anything. But this morning, I just want you to remember that commitment that you made to the Lord on day one. Bring it back to God and say, God, I'm going to finish the race. Because, Lord, there's a prize at the end. In Jesus' name.